And from there he arose and went into the region of Tyre, and when he had entered the house, he wanted no one to know of it. Yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit. A what? A defiling, unclean spirit. Notice, it wasn't food that defiled her, made her unclean before God, but what made her unclean was an evil spirit. Immediately came and fell at his feet. Now we see this terminology, not only here, but in several places in the Gospels, where people came and fell at the feet of Jesus. Now you have to understand, this was pre-cross. This was pre-resurrection. This was pre-salvation in every shape and form. There was no salvation offered to anybody yet until Jesus completed all these things. So, this is the closest thing, and that's why I believe that the writers of the Gospels made note that these people would fall down at the feet of Jesus, because it's worship of Him. It's recognizing Him as being Lord, right? It's recognizing Him as being God and the Christ. And they were accepting Him as the Messiah. Now, the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race. And she kept asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Cast the demon out. Now, please take note. What was she there to do? To ask Him to cast the demon out, right? Now, verse 27, and he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first. What was he talking about? He was talking about the children of Israel. And he knew this woman was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a Gentile. And he had come first to the house of Israel. Said, let the children be satisfied first. He was referring to the Jews. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Would you notice that term? Children's bread. What is bread? Bread is food, isn't it? Bread is something you ingest, isn't it? Bread is something that you eat. And he is calling deliverance, the casting out of devils, the children's bread. In other words, this is what you need to live on to sustain yourself. If you don't eat food, you will die. And the children of God must have deliverance. It is not optional. We must have deliverance. This is what you can see from this scripture right here. Deliverance is not a secondary matter. Is food a secondary matter?
No.
In people's physical lives, it is not. It is an absolute essential. And so also is deliverance an absolutely essential matter in the lives of every Christian. But she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, but even the dogs. When Jesus said dogs, that was the term that was attributed to non-believers. That's what the Jews called them, dogs. And that's why in Revelation it says outside are the dogs. It's talking about outside of the kingdom are the dogs. But she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. Hallelujah. He said to her, because of this answer, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. Hallelujah. Praise God. He always responds to the faith of somebody. Hallelujah. It's like the woman who crawled up to him, you know, and touched the hem of his garment. Had been an issue of blood for 12 years. And she touched that place of healing. And she said, I know if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Praise God. Praise God. And you touch God in faith and not fear. Hallelujah. I said, if you touch God in faith and not fear, praise God. He never responds to fear, but he always responds to faith. Hallelujah. The centurion man was a Roman soldier, but Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel, because he said, Lord, you don't have to go to my house. Stand right here. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed where he's at. And this woman, Jesus told her, woman, go home, because the demon has already gone out of your daughter. Hallelujah. And he didn't have to go to her house. You understand what I'm saying? The Apostle Paul took handkerchiefs, and handkerchiefs were taken from his body, and people had demons come out, the Bible says. And I believe God is bringing deliverance to the forefront of the church. At the beginning of this year, God gave me a word concerning the purification of the church. And it says the purification of the church is the byword of 2006. Purification is. During 2006, God will begin to bring forth a new emphasis on purification of the body of Christ, individually and corporately. In previous moves, God restored in the Spirit the office of the prophet and the apostle back in the right place of function. I say in the Spirit because what God does in the invisible, unseen realm of the Spirit is not always what so-called Christendom is doing, nor what they are seeing. You see, many times God does things right under our noses and people don't even know that that's what God is doing because they are so deceived by their traditions and they have God figured out and they've got God put in the box and they've got this God described by their own teachings and they say, this is God. Well, you see, even the disciples who had lived and walked and trained and the Apostle John said, our hands even handle the word of life. Yet as two of those disciples were walking on the road of Emmaus, Jesus came and was walking along with them. And they did not recognize Him, the Bible says, because He came in a different form. I'm telling you that Jesus is coming to the church in this hour in a different form. He's coming as the high apostle of the church. He's coming as the preeminent prophet of the church. He's coming as the great deliverer of the church that He has always been. But many do not recognize Him. Many miss Him and miss His coming in this age and in this hour just as the Jews missed His first coming. Because Jesus always sends signs to recognize that He's coming. Hallelujah. And Jesus sent John the Baptist as the forerunner to say, He's coming. Hallelujah. The Messiah is coming. When Jesus then came, they didn't recognize Him because He came in a form that they were not expecting. Hallelujah. He came in the form of a deliverer. He came in the form of someone casting out demons. He came in the form of someone that's healing. And they were expecting Him to come in the form of a king. Well, He came in the form of a king, but this was not the time for His kingdom. Hallelujah. And the reason that it wasn't the time for His kingdom in His first manifestation, His first fleshly visitation, is because when Jesus ascended on high, He gave gifts unto men. And before that, He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He said, I'm about to pour forth and begin my kingdom, you see. And His kingdom rule began when He began to anoint the church. And when He began to pour out of His Spirit. And on Easter night, when He came in the upper room and breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This was the beginning of His kingdom. Because He did not come to reign as king at that time. But He will come back, you see, to be coronated, to be established as king by His people. Hallelujah. 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 And we will recognize Him as king. And we will rule and reign with Him. Hallelujah. And that's what He's doing. He's getting the church ready and prepared for ruling and reigning with Christ. The church that Jesus said He was building is the entity that He shall return to claim as the eternal bride. It is not those who profess to be a part of it who actually are, but those who bear the fruit of the kingdom of God. And God is taking us through a purification process in this last hour. A call for true deliverance is what God is declaring and decreeing. So true, God called, anointed, and appointed intercessors must begin to get in line and agreement with the Spirit and pray this move into existence by praying for believers, leaders, and laymen alike to receive. There is a call of the Spirit for true deliverance is what God is declaring and decreeing. So true, God called, God anointed, God appointed intercessors. Those intercessors is somebody who stands in the gap. These intercessors must begin to get in line and agreement with the Spirit and pray this move into existence by praying for believers. Friends, prophecy is not inevitable. Prophecy is an invitation. Prophecy is an invitation to the people of God to begin to intercede for the purposes and the plans of God. Hallelujah. When God prophesies something like what I'm prophesying to you right now, what I'm teaching you right now, what I'm telling you by the Spirit right now, it will not happen just automatically just because God said it. It will happen when the people of God begin to pray about the purposes and the plans of God and bring it into fruition. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The way it'll happen in Jupiter is when the people of God begin to get on their knees and say, God, I've read the prophecy now. Now, God, do it. Begin to do it. Begin to bring it forth in Jupiter. Begin to bring it forth in Palm Beach County. Begin to bring it forth in Indian River County. Begin to bring it forth in Indian Town. Hallelujah. Begin to bring forth your purposes and your plans. You've spoke it, Lord. Now, I want it to happen in my life. I want it to happen in my territory. Hallelujah. And I will not give up. I'm grabbing hold of the horns of the altar, and I'm not letting go until I see this prophecy come forth in the land. Hallelujah. Where I'm living, and where every place where my feet trod, you have given it unto me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to see this thing come to pass. Hallelujah. And you're going to pray, and you're going to say, God, I will not give up till I see every seat filled. Hallelujah. Till I see every chair filled with a believer. Hallelujah. I'm not going to come in and say, where's the people? I'm going to get in my prayer closet, and I'm going to say, God, where's the people? Bring the people in Jesus' name, because I believe in this thing. Hallelujah. I've heard the word of the Lord. I've seen with my own eyes. I've seen the promised land. Hallelujah. I've looked over into it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bring it to pass with my own words, with my own prayer. Pray, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Elijah was a man like unto ourselves, yet he prayed. Hallelujah. And it did not rain for 3.5 years by his own word. Hallelujah. Because he believed what God was speaking within his spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. People of God, true prayer warriors, they don't just come in and say, well, why ain't it happening? They come in and they say, my God, this is an indictment against myself. I'm taking this personal, God. Sometimes people don't understand people like us. Friends, we take it personal, I want you to know, because we know what God's called us to, and we're a part of His purposes. We're part of His plan. We're part of His church. And when you deny what Jesus is doing, yes, we take it personal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We take it personal when we see Christians not walking in the purposes and the plans of God. Yes, we do. Because we are a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And you need to begin to pray and say, God, I know one thing, that the weapons of our warfare, they're intended and they're aimed directly at strongholds and directly at mindsets that are contrary to the Word of God. The stronghold, it's a hold that's strong on people. Hallelujah. And it's upon their mindsets. Hallelujah. And we need to begin to pray and say, Lord, I'm using the weapons of my warfare right now. And you begin to speak the Word of God. You begin to use the Word of God as a sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you begin to cut through all the darkness and all of the deception and all of the lies. And you begin to do that in the Spirit, where you begin to say, you just begin to prophesy. Don't you understand? You just begin to speak with your own mouth and say, I'm not a prophet. Moses said, I would to God that all God's people are prophets. Hallelujah. And that they're speaking the Word of God. One thing we can do is speak the Word of God. You can begin to take scriptures and you can say, now Lord, you said that the Great Commission was that them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. Hallelujah. And this is a part of what the plan is for your church. And you want your church to cast out devils. And I'm believing and I'm speaking forth that your church right here in Indian Town, your church in Palm Beach County, your church in Jupiter is going to begin to have the light of revelation come unto them, that they can cast out devils, that the people of God need to have devils cast out of them, that they need to be set free from bondage. And you begin to speak those things out into the air. Hallelujah. And that prophecy, that word of the Lord, not one word of all these good promises have ever failed. Hallelujah. And that word shall not return unto him void without accomplishing the purposes for which it is sent. But it must come through a tongue. It must come through a mouth. Hallelujah. It must be spoken out of the heart by somebody that believes it. Hallelujah. And you begin to speak it into the atmosphere, and you'll begin to change the atmosphere. You begin to speak it in your home. Hallelujah. And your temple and your church. Hallelujah. As for me,
in my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise God. And we will believe these things in my house. Hallelujah. And this is what God has said. Hallelujah. And my family, we are the church. I am the church. Me and my wife are the church. Me and my wife and my children, we are the church. And this is a church here in our house. Hallelujah. And the church is something that believes. They're made up of believers. And we're going to believe every word that God says in His book. Hallelujah. And we're going to have it happening in our house. My children are going to be delivered. Hallelujah. My wife is going to be delivered. The spouse, the husband is going to be delivered. I'm going to walk in deliverance. I'm going to be a leader of my house. I'm the first one in line to get delivered of anything that the devil has a hold on me about in any way, shape, or form. If you'll lead, hallelujah, then everybody else will follow. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And you start changing the atmosphere in your house. Then how do churches change? They start changing because every cell in that body begins to perform the Word of God. Every house begins to believe in deliverance. Every house begins to cast out everything in their house that is not from God. Every house goes through their house and says, that book's not of God. It's going in the bonfire. Hallelujah. We're going to burn those things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to be set free of these things. Hallelujah. You go through your house and you find everything that represents Satan's kingdom and you get rid of it. Hallelujah. You throw it out. Praise God. So that the devil can have no hold on you. Hallelujah. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. And you begin to do these things in your own house. Are ye not the temple of God, the Bible says. Amen. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Hallelujah. So you've got to do it in your house first. Hallelujah. And you're in charge of your house. Do you understand what I'm telling you here today? You're in charge of your house. And then when you do that, then we have the accumulative effect that when the body comes together, they have been purged of all of these demonic strongholds in their lives. Can you say amen? Amen.